And I wonder if we should challenge ourselves to go back and finish those series. No, you're shaking your head already.
I'm shaking my head off camera here because you don't need any extra time to go back and watch Dash and Lily. I'm not going back and watching Dash and Lily.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show because it's now.
Hello, and welcome to the second try of the 10th episode of Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Sean.
And I'm the other half, Russ. Love to hear your feedback. Please leave a comment in Apple Podcasts, or you can email us directly at JARPpodcast, that's JARPpodcast@gmail.com. Sean?
Yes, this podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-episode. A conversation about what you just watched. And what did you just watch? You just watched Bear Town on HBO Max and Crave for us Canadians up north.
And if you haven't seen it, that's fine too, but there are spoilers ahead, so you've been warned.
You have.
But alongside our review of Bear Town, we will also be pairing it with a movie from our childhood. Sean, this episode was your pick. What throwback movie have you paired with Bear Town and why?
Thanks, Russ. I've selected the Oscar-worthy, action-packed 1995 Jean-Claude Van Damme thriller entitled Sudden Death. Why? Well, both of these movies had hockey as some sort of driving subplot, while on the surface, we're really dealing with crimes, passion, and a father just trying to do right.
Let's get into it.
I hope so anyways. That was just a guess.
I don't know where crime. Well, I mean, there's no crime in the first episode of Bear Town as far as I could see.
Oh.
At this point.
I think Russ missed something. But.
Well, is chasing someone through the snow with a shotgun a crime? I don't think so.
You serious?
All right. Well, the name of today, this, that, boo, ba, chick, jing, judo. I'm really tired.
Okay.
Anyways, the name of the show is Bear Town, or Bjornstad? Bjornstad.
Bjornstad.
Bjornstad. Bjornstad. Yeah. This is on Crave for us up north, or HBO Max, like we said. Who's in it? Elf Stenberg.
Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to do my best Swedish accent here.
Okay.
Ulf Stenberg is Peter, played by Peter. Is Peter. He's Peter.
Miriam, played by Peter.
He's Peter. Pumpkin Eater. Miriam Ingrid is her real name, and Maya is her character name. She's Peter's daughter.
Thank you for the clarification.
And another character is Oliver Do fucker, and he is Kevin.
I'm not clear. I'm not sure on the pronunciation of that one.
I think so. Do fucker, Oliver. Do fucker.
Or how about faker?
Poor kid. I like do fucker.
Do you have Swedish in your background?
I do. I didn't think I did. And then recently, my sister started poking around our family tree, and she went really deep. About four or five generations back, like my great 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 grandparents, and there's some Swedish in there.
So I think the rule as far as making fun of accents, you're allowed if you are Swedish. Like if you are part of that culture, then you're allowed.
Do fucker.
There you go. You
can do that. I don't. Darsche hacking notion do fucker. I have no idea. There's probably somebody Swedish listening to this right now.
And who does Oliver Dufaker play?
Kevin.
Kevin.
He's Kevin.
He plays Kevin.
Kevin. Well, they all have these hard to pronounce names in real life. In the movie world, they're easy to pronounce. Peter, Maya, and Kevin.
And because this is filmed in, have you mentioned this already?
Sweden?
Yeah, it's filmed in Sweden.
It's filmed in Sweden.
It's based on a town in Sweden.
Actually, it's based on a few towns in Sweden, not one in particular. Okay. But I read, maybe we both read something a little different, but I read that this is a culmination of a bunch of small towns in Sweden. Not one in particular, but they took reference from multiple small Swedish towns and created this fictional town. Bear Town is not a real Swedish town.
Ah. Well, I learned that this actually is based on a novel written by a Swedish author. And I think they're young adult novels, and there may be more than one. So maybe there's room for another season after this, maybe.
I don't know. They're calling it a limited 5-episode series.
Okay.
So
this is all we get.
This is all you get. How'd you hear about this show? Well, honestly, I was just cruising the Crave. See this Bear Town. I read the synopsis, had hockey in it, and bada bing, bada boom, sparked my interest.
Oh, you like hockey.
I do like hockey. Yeah. I do like hockey. I thought it revolved more around hockey than what it actually does, but I was pleasantly surprised that there was more to this than just hockey.
Yeah. Right? It wasn't just a Mighty Ducks.
No.
That's next week.
Oh.
Well, spoiler.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, let's review this bad boy. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just reading I'm looking around my microphone to read my notes. My microphone's really big.
Do you need a second?
Nope.
That's what she said.
Oh, come on now.
You gotta get that.
She never said that.
Epic drone shots set up a snowy Swedish backdrop of the small town of Beartown. Two nondescript people are engaged in a foot chase. Gunshots. Peter Andersson, a local hometown hockey hero, returns to Sweden with his family after a brief career in the NHL. Initially recruited to coach the senior team back to its winning ways, Peter feels duped into the challenge of coaching a bunch of has-been old-timers, or fogies as he would refer to them as. He strong-arms the powers that be to let him coach the more elite junior team with star power forward Kevin Erdahl, the son of Mats Erdahl, Peter's nemesis from their early hockey days. Ooh. Now that's about half of it.
Okay, good.
Now let's break.
Yeah, that was the opening. Oh, hockey references. That was a beautiful opening scene out in the stunning landscapes of Sweden.
Yeah, they give you about, I don't know, 1 or 2 minutes of just these beautiful, picturesque, snowy covered Swedish shots, and it's looks cold but looks pretty nice.
So and they like you mentioned in your recap there, very good recap. We don't know who those people are.
I made it short just for you.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Even though it is in two parts,
and I'm thinking okay, well, I'm accepting it as a chronological thing, so assuming that what we see next is happening after the gunshots. But then as the episode goes on, I get the feeling that we haven't actually experienced that chase in the snow yet, because no one seems to be talking about it. You'd think if someone got shot in the middle of the snow, in the middle of out there in the forest, that they'd notice someone was missing, but no one is missing. And we realize that pretty quick.
You don't consider someone taking aim at someone within 20 feet away a crime?
Well, maybe it's a misunderstanding, you know, like maybe like I meant to.
There's
hit
crime in both of them, you know, Jean-Claude's trying to stop terrorists and someone's getting shot here. I mean, there's a quote unquote crime happening in both of them. The first 20 minutes, I wasn't hating on it, but I was kind of questioning myself whether I made the right call or not. It starts a little slow and a little kind of not fluffy, but just, you know, there's just a bunch of family banter between one another. But I believe it was all good for good reason, you know, setting everything up, because after about that first 20 minute lull, things really started to get going in the show and I perked up. So, but yeah.
Yeah. I thought all the family stuff felt very genuine and refreshing, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't lose my interest. I appreciate them taking the time building this, you know, kind of understanding the relationship between all the family members, but also everyone felt real and lived in, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess one thing we haven't mentioned, but I mean, hopefully most people have watched this, that this is a Swedish show and it's in Sweden.
It's in
Swiss?
Swiss? They're speaking Swiss?
Swiss. And it's in Swiss. But every now and then they toss in the odd English word. But even though it is in Swiss and in Sweden. Not, I almost said Switzerland. Wait, do they speak?
They speak Swedish.
Swedish. That's it. Yes, yeah. I had a feeling. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Okay. We are uneducated.
Swiss. That's my
people from Switzerland.
The
speaks Swiss.
Not the Swede.
They speak Swedish. Okay. Right. Okay.
There we go.
But I see a lot of parallels here between sort of the Swedish love and culture for hockey compared to Canada. Like this, I feel this could easily be a struggling small prairie town as well as a small struggling Swedish town. You know, I see a lot of similarities and between our two cultures.
And the show makes that connection for us too, because he comes, like the whole family is basically uprooted from Canada and come back to his hometown of Beartown. So they had just been in Canada, and there's reference to that in the first episode.
Yeah, they referenced there was maybe a loss in the family, and that's maybe why that's why they came back. But yeah. I also wonder if maybe he couldn't hack it in the NHL. They never really touch on that. Like, was he good enough to stay in the NHL, or was, you know, this family tragedy just derailed him from his career.
I get the feeling that he had a career in the NHL and it ended, and then he was more of a coach in the juniors in Canada, and then he lost a child, and then they, instead of kind of dealing with that and staying where they were, that is like he decided to move back to his hometown to kind of start fresh a little bit.
Okay, I didn't pick up that he actually coached before. I thought this was his inaugural coaching position.
Okay, well that's something that we should dive into a little bit more.
Well, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying I didn't pick up on it.
No, and I'm only guessing by his age and his experience, seeming like his ability to coach. He just seems like a natural, so I'm assuming that he's been doing it for a bit. But I could be wrong.
That's an assumption. And speaking of ending careers, his sort of nemesis, Mats Erdahl, you know, we learned that he was a bit of a yappy yapperson on the ice, and or he did something bad on the ice one day, and this Peter took a swing at him and knocked him out, and the guy was never the same again, and he never played again, and he obviously blames Peter for that, and you know, maybe rightfully so. But
yeah, because Peter just kind of waves it off. He's like, like the daughter Maya is asking her, you know, her dad, like, why do you have such bad blood with this family, this other family? And he's like, well, you know, we used to play hockey back in the day, and you know, hit him in the back of the neck, and he never played hockey again. You know, whatever. But yeah, this could be a big actual medical thing for Mats that we maybe learn as the season goes on.
Maybe that's why he's such a dick. Yeah, is exactly. Because
he suffers from headaches or migraines all the time. Who knows?
Oh, there's a swear jar. I made it 16 minutes in I swore.
Every time Sean swears, he has to put a coin in the jar.
It's Russ's candy fund.
Thank you. I love candy. I haven't said it yet, but this is another HBO Europe series. Yeah. So we did 30 coins, and that was the first time I'd ever watched anything that kind of flashed that HBO Europe prior to the show starting. And then
you think we'd learn our lesson from dipping into HBO Europe after 30 coins. But
yeah.
No, I take that back. I take that back. Yeah. And you'll see from my chart rating later on.
Yeah. I had flashbacks though. As soon as I saw that HBO Europe, I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
30 coins part two.
Let's go. So I'm getting the sense, I'm getting Romeo and Juliet vibes here. So you've got the two families, and you've got
star-crossed lovers,
So, the both families. So the one family that moves back has a daughter, and he's the coach, and then the other family has the kind of the star hockey player.
I think there might even be a triple, another mm-hmm. love interest in there somewhere with the jock sniffing buddy of his.
He was just sniffing his buddy's jock.
Sniffing his buddy's jock. I think there's a little brotherly love.
Oh, that's what that was.
Because I looked over my wife and I was like, he just sniffed that guy's jock.
Was he sniffing? He wasn't sniffing his own jock.
No, that his Kevin, the star forward, right. throws his jock at his best friend sitting in the locker room, and as Kevin walks away and unbeknownst to him, Lit picks up his buddy's jock and like shoves it into his nostrils and takes a big whiff of it. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Because this is also the stoner friend, right?
Yeah.
So I just assumed he was doing some sort of Swedish drug. I thought he was just getting, like, I don't know what he was. I thought he was sniffing some sort of crack.
He's sniffing Kevin's jockstrap there.
maybe he can't get high anymore off regular drugs, and he has to sniff jockstrap to get high.
Whoa, I feel sorry for
that
guy.
He's chasing the dragon.
If that's what he's got to do to get his fix, well, I don't know.
He's falling hard.
But yeah, no, I think this Lit guy is going to be a factor moving forward here somewhere.
Interesting.
Jealous, secret love boyfriend. I don't know.
Speaking of kids, Sean, you like to comment that movies and TV shows don't portray kids the right way. Do you feel like that Bear Town did it right?
From what we could tell so far, for sure, the kids seem of age of teenagers. They seem that young innocence you can really feel. It's like you said, you were commenting about the realness and the rawness of the family conversations earlier in the episode, but even throughout the whole episode, I found the acting of the kids, the teenagers, very real, very yeah. real.
Nice.
Nothing melodramatic, nothing outlandish, you know, very grounded. I thought it was excellent.
They look the age too. They don't look
exactly.
too much older.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's got full beards and
talk like this.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of you know, you said the Romeo and Juliet thing. I like this character of his daughter. New girl, new town. She could have easily just kind of sat back and waited to make friends, but she was a go-getter. I liked her. She went out, she kind of made friends. She liked this boy, realized they sort of made eye contact in the cafeteria, and then she realized they were neighbors, and then sort of just waiting for him to maybe have the gonads to come approach her. She just went out one night while he was practicing hockey, and she got right up into his grill, and she wouldn't back down from a little bit of a friendly challenge in order to sort of break the ice, and I don't know. I really like that about her. And I saw some really, really cool characteristics in her that, you know, I hope when my girls are teenagers that, you know, they're strong go-getters like that, you know?
Yeah. I don't get the feeling that she's intimidated here. She's probably, you know, when he was coming from an NHL family, she probably had a lot of opportunities. We see her playing the guitar at one point. We see her playing hockey. She's quite good. So she's probably a pretty confident young individual. Or else that's mm-hmm. how it makes it feel.
Well, it definitely comes through in her character. And it's a nice refreshing for a female character, right?
Yeah. One of the things so you had mentioned in your recap that they hire him on the basis of coaching the seniors, but he's like, no way, I'm not coaching these guys. I want to coach the Fogies. I want to coach the junior team. And they're like, well, no, we've already got a coach there, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things he says when he's strong-arming them to take over, he convinces the owners or what have you, or the people of the, I don't know what the actual relationship these guys are, but they seem to be in charge. He convinces them that he will make them a winning team, and he will revitalize the downtown core.
Right.
He will bring back the economy of the town by making the junior team winners, which that's the power of hockey right there.
I guess for this particular small town, like, it revolves around winning and losing with this hockey team. They do good, you know, they get sponsors. I don't know. It looks like when they win, the town's in good spirits and all that. And when they're losing, they just seem down in the dumps. So it seems to have a huge ripple effect, you know, throughout not only the economy of the town, but the morale itself.
Small town hockey.
I guess so.
They do show, like, you know, you really understand the geography of Beartown, as far as the ice and the snow and the trees and the wilderness, but you also get the idea of like that one factory that's kind of the main economy of the town, because they're constantly showing the factory's exterior shots with the smoke kind of just like through the sky and stuff like that. So, and I don't know if it's slowing down the whole factory, but there's definitely feeling of like a dying economy of some sort as well.
Yeah.
But hey, if you have a winning juniors hockey team, that can all go away.
Hey, your downtown core will get revitalized.
People will be coming and buying jerseys.
Woohoo. Instilling drastic change and new rules, Peter's new approach is not welcomed by the parents of the junior squad, as Peter deals with an obsessed Mats who pushes his son Kevin beyond what's considered acceptable parenting. As Peter's new coaching tactics start to take form and the team begins a new culture of winning, revitalizing the small town on game nights. Maya, Peter's teenage daughter, has befriended Kevin, and the two seem to be a good fit until their feuding fathers intervene and are pulled away from each other. The episode concludes with further backstory on the career-ending feud between Mats and Peter. There's more than just hockey drama going on in this town. Bookended back to the snowy foot chase from the beginning, the two nondescript individuals are revealed. Kevin is being chased by a rifle-wielding Maya, who takes aim at Kevin before the episode concludes.
Ho, ho, ho.
Bum, bum, bum.
So it hasn't happened yet, and for some reason, who we think are Romeo and Juliet are not star-crossed lovers anymore.
That's what they want us to think, though, right? Maybe there's something deeper going on here. I don't know. She did take a shot at him, though, in the beginning.
Mm.
She fired, and he was in very close proximity. I'm surprised she didn't hit him.
Right. So she aims to kill.
Maybe.
It's sudden death, baby.
Prey versus predator, right?
So once Peter gets situated in the town, he starts and you start to see him take hold of the team. They do a nice little montage, which I think works. Like, they do a montage of like him coaching and the team getting better and going to games. But it reminded me of that that montage song from
a montage, yeah. From Team America.
From Team America, World Police.
You can
Police.
Learn everything in a montage. Yeah, it kind of took this lighthearted.
Yeah.
It didn't turn for not too long.
No, you not know? Too long. And to me, it worked, but it did.
Yeah, it did work.
It felt like a little switch to how like the vibe of the show was going, and then suddenly it was like, and now it's a montage.
Yeah. Now they're kind of, they're the Mighty Ducks. Everything's happy. Yeah.
And with every shot, show a little improvement.
A little bit better with every shot now.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but like you said, it worked.
Yeah.
And
it
they
does.
Didn't try to get on too long. And yeah, there was no rock music like right. that for those that didn't watch the show, but yeah.
But we're getting pretty quick to the fact that Peter's coaching is working and the team is turning around. So even within the first episode, we're starting to see them find success.
Yeah. But Kevin's dad's not liking it. He doesn't like this new coach getting success. And, you know, he's given his son the cold shoulder and makes his kid walk home in minus 25 degree Celsius weather. You know, that was just beyond trying to toughen up your kid and teach him a lesson. That was just very poor parenting.
Jerk move, Dad. Jerk
total jerk move, trying to live his NHL glory days or what he could have been through his son, and just pushing him just beyond
and I'm sure he doesn't
limits.
Like the fact that Peter is back, his arch nemesis. He doesn't like that Peter's in control of his son, that his son is listening to Peter, that he is now second fiddle in regards to Peter. You know, he's pushed hockey so bad for his son, and now now Peter's back, and now Peter's in charge. And so I'm sure this is like a test of power for
yeah, exactly. You know, he's exactly. Like, I'm your father. You listen to me, yeah. Not this Peter.
You may be
coach,
winning. Right? Your coach may be Peter, but I'm the boss here. And to show you, I'm going to leave you outside the car.
Yeah,
and drive
I drove
away.
You to all those practices and this and that. And well, like, really. Really, Mats, did you do that for your son, or is this you fulfilling some
well,
you
yeah.
know
For sure.
It totally is. But man, when they picked that kid up and he decided to take a break and he's just, I don't know if he was doing exercises to stay warm, what, he's like taking slap shots out in the middle of nowhere. The whole town's looking for him. But man, I got so like teary eyed when they were driving this poor kid home. Just, I just felt so bad for him. You know, I've never had a friend who was kind of an elite athlete like that, that had like the overbearing parents and stuff, but you've heard about it, right? Yeah. And then just to kind of see it on screen. And like you said, the rawness and realness of these kids that are acting and the kid that, the what's his name? Defunkelson? Oliver Defuck you. No, really. He is a solid actor. And just the emotion that he brought in that scene, it was good. And it really hit me hard. And I just felt so, so bad for this kid out in the freezing cold. Where's your jacket, kid, is what I got to say. Where was his jacket?
Yeah, like yeah, I was surprised he was doing so well. Actually, I had anticipated maybe like falling over in the snow, like a little icicle.
I thought they were maybe going to find him dead or something like that. And then I was like, oh well,
show
here's
over.
Here's some drama. Yeah,
how are they going to win the juniors now?
The hockey sequences weren't the most exciting. You know, they weren't filmed like your typical Hollywood hockey production. They were more from like a fan's point of view, or you're watching from the bench. Yeah, you know what, but it wasn't the driving force of the show. So it didn't, you got your highlight clips of them winning, but you know, it wasn't about any sort of fancy super action shots of hockey sequences. You know, that's not the story here, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The story is the two families and this relationship between Maya and Kevin. And yeah, like you said, hockey is just the backdrop. But I feel like they pay hockey quite a lot, enough attention to really feel like you're living in that world.
I also like the coach, and he wasn't trying to make all the guys sort of like, you need to be good at defense and offense and this and that. You know what? He wasn't like, you need to be an all. He was saying, you play to your strengths. You know, you've got one good strength. You play that. You've got one. And now all of us working together will be strong. And I really like that. If you were to play on this hockey team, oh, Russ, what would your role be?
I do not know hockey like you do, so I won't be able to use actual sport references.
That's fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I can still answer the question. I just won't. It won't sound smart. I would be the maybe the speedy guy. So I would like speed down the ice really quick.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. Yeah, you think you'd be like the fast?
Yeah,
the fast winger that could sort of get in front of everybody and get to a scoring spot before everybody.
Right. And maybe I wouldn't be the scorer, but I would, you know, I would have support the guy who had really good hand-eye coordination.
You would draw people away towards you and leave the guy with skill open more.
Right. What about you? What would you do?
I'd definitely just be the shit disturber. For sure.
Don't you play hockey? You have played. You play old man's hockey.
I don't play very good hockey.
But that's what you do when you play old man's hockey. You just beak out.
No. But not anymore. I used to. Yeah. When I realized that's not cool with your coworkers. I'm really good at it.
I feel like there's another story here. Didn't you like get in a fight with some doing this?
No. Oh, okay. No, there's no story there. Predictions, Russell?
Predictions. Okay, so now that we know that the two people in the wilderness is Maya with a shotgun chasing Kevin, or Juliet chasing Romeo, my prediction is that she does not shoot Kevin, but they are standing on a frozen lake at the at the very end, right? So my prediction is that she doesn't shoot him, but someone falls in the lake. And I guess it would be easier if it was Maya, because it would support the story in regards to like turning the tables, and therefore like Kevin would have to like save Maya and then maybe redeem himself for whatever he did to cause Maya to chase him through the wilderness with a shotgun. That's my predictions. That's my end of season prediction.
Nice. I think it's minus 30 degrees outside there, and there's no way that that lake is breaking open.
Right.
But I do like your prediction.
What if she shoots the lake? What if she shoots the ice and the ice breaks because of the shotgun?
Maybe.
And then it cracks.
She's got a rifle, though, Russell. It's okay. Not a shotgun. It's a rifle.
It's a rifle, okay. I don't know guns or hockey.
She must have stolen it from her friend's house, right?
Right.
That's where the rifle was, at her friend's house. Her a female friend that she befriended.
Right.
Right? Because once you befriend someone, they're like your friend, right?
Do you have... That's how that works.
I'm just kind of making fun of myself being stupid Captain Obvious here, but yeah.
And then once you become friends, you give each other your guns. Like, hey, we're now friends. Feel free to take my gun anytime.
Feel free to touch my guns.
Yeah, sniff my jock strap, take my gun. We're
sniff
friends
my
now.
Jock.
We're buddies. That's what friends do.
I guess.
Do you,
I've never sniffed your jock before. Have you secretly sniffed mine?
Yes, I've touched your gun and I sniffed your jock. But I thought that's what friends were for. So I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Just, you know.
Own it.
What they do in Sweden is just a little different than maybe what we do here.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's true. I have a confession to make.
Mm.
I was trying to do a little bit of research on this show, not a lot, just a little bit, because I didn't want to spoil myself.
But you spoiled something.
Yeah, I spoiled something. And it was because I wrote down, you know, I typed in Beartown, and then they said right away it talked about the novel. And I'm like, oh shit, it was a novel? That's cool. And so I clicked on the Wikipedia, the novel, just wanting to read like the first, you know, couple sentences to guide it, like who wrote it? When was it written? And right away they gave like the reason why she's chasing Kevin. Now I know if the show is a true adaptation of the book, I now know why she's angry at Kevin. So that's it's unfortunate.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
No
spoilers. I won't tell you, but I do know that. I don't know what happens after the gunshot, but I don't know why.
I think maybe it has something to do with their father's feud. You know, and somehow maybe Kevin was pressured to do something to Peter through his father, Mats, and Maya found out and she's taking matters into her own hands. It's a bit of a revenge thing. Kevin has done something to Peter and Maya is taking revenge.
I don't know. I probably shouldn't say anything because
I don't want you to like confirm or deny it, please. Because
yes.
I'd like to finish. I want to finish it. We'll talk about it on temperature.
Do you have any predictions?
Well, that was my prediction. That there's some. It's some sort of feud. What we know the feud between the fathers, but it's escalated so much that Kevin's, I think, physically harmed Peter somehow,
right.
And Maya found out. And she's taking refuge.
Yeah.
She's protecting
her dad.
Or prediction number two.
Yeah.
Is that this is what the storytellers want us to believe. And that this really isn't a Maya versus Kevin thing. Maybe this is all a facade in order for Kevin to escape or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's some sort of.
It's a ruse. It's a ruse.
A ruse. Yeah. I don't know. A fake death. So Kevin can escape. I don't know. That sounds elaborate.
Seems elaborate based on the fact that they're alone in the woods and they're doing that.
And
it can't be just for show when no one else can see.
And I think Kevin relies a little bit heavily on his mother and father to provide for him. I can't see him just being able to skip town.
Let's go back to Canada. I hear it's great there.
Yeah, Maya, take me to Canada.
The West Coast doesn't even get snow. Let's go. all right.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
So last time, Russ kind of simplified our JARP ratings, which is good. So now we just go out of five rather than doing three categories. Let's just keep it simple, you know?
Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, exactly. So out of five JARPs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 being it changed my life, 1 being terrible, 3 in the middle being good, and then 2 and 4 are the middlemen between those. Russ, Go for it.
I gave it a 3.5. I thought it's good, and it's kind of repeating what I've already said. I just thought the storytelling was really genuine and heartfelt. The characters did the actors did an amazing job. I think HBO Europe has redeemed itself. But I'm definitely interested to keep going. How about you,
Nice.
Sean?
Nice. That's funny. I almost gave it 3.5, but then I upped it to 4 because I'd actually been thinking about it quite a bit and talking. I watched it with my wife and she enjoyed it as well. So we had been chit-chatting about it at, we got rid of the kids last night. So we had a nice quiet dinner. We were actually able to have a decent conversation. So that was nice. So yeah, anyway, I gave it 4 jarps. The reason is as follows. The slow start made me question my selection at first, but I think it was necessary for the setup for this miniseries. It is only 5 episodes, so they do need to get some exposition and backstory established early so we can just get into the meat of the story. Halfway through, I got really engaged and things started to twist and turn a bit. It was a cool balance between thriller, coming of age, and some kind of lighthearted Mighty Ducks moments in there at one point. Yeah. I enjoyed watching the progression of these young kids and the juxtaposition of their struggles off ice. I enjoyed the cliffhanger ending and I'm very interested to continue watching this series.
So
yeah, I am excited to watch the series and I will definitely watch episode 2. I don't think the 5th and final one is out yet. It is Sunday night. It might be out tonight, but they said it's a 5-episode limited series. We only got 4 more to go. I think we can do it.
Oh, definitely. This is gonna actually transition to what I want to talk about under temperature check. Are you ready?
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Okay. So,
what's temperature check? What's
temperature
this part?
Check is all about where we look back at series that we've reviewed in the past and kind of give our updates on how we're feeling about them. Did we keep going? Did we stop? And all that kind of good stuff. But my thoughts were, and maybe it would make good podcast, is that we've dropped a couple of shows. So we didn't even go further with some of them. Some of them, we saw them to the end. One or two of us did, maybe both of us did. And other ones we just dropped completely. And I wonder if we should challenge ourselves to go back and finish those series. No, you're shaking your head already.
I'm shaking my head off camera here
because you want me to go back and watch
Dash and Lily. I'm not going back and watch Dash and Lily.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll let you finish. No, it's fine.
I'll take stock. Truth Seekers, our first one. I did it all. Don't have to do it again. So it's either one of us has to do it, not both of us. Liberators, neither of us continued it, so one of us would have to go back to that. Dash and Lily, I did that one, so it's done. Palm Springs, not applicable. Yellowstone, you did it. WandaVision, we both did it. 30 Coins, neither of us did it. Your Honor, you did it. Search Party. Here's a good question. Did you continue to watch Search?
There you go. And I think I was pretty transparent that I wasn't going to watch any more of that show. Yeah. So,
I just think it would make an interesting conversation for us to talk about. I know it's a little bit like when, you know, life, it's not like we have more time in our lives to do this.
Yeah, but that could be a struggle to push yourself to say, watch 9 more hours of a particular series that you're probably not interested in. I don't know, man. That's asking a lot, dude.
Well, maybe you can't, like, maybe just give it a go, I guess would be my thought is.
Like episode 2, we could maybe commit to that.
So here it is. So Liberators, all we have to do is Liberator, 30 Coins, Search Party, and Beartown. And I think we're both going to watch Beartown, so let's scratch Beartown off. So it's Search Party, 30 Coins, and Liberator. If you had to pick one of those, which one would you do?
Maybe 30 coins to laugh at all of it. I don't know.
Okay, I'll do Liberator and Search Party.
I don't want to watch it though.
That's your homework.
I don't want to watch it.
You've been assigned 30 coins. you have to do it. I'm gonna do Liberator and Search Party. You do 30 coins, and then we'll have
one episode. One episode.
The best you can do.
One episode.
See if you could go all the way. Just see. Just try.
No. Okay. I will try.
Okay.
Maybe one episode.
Yeah, you can do it.
Okay. Anyways, Search Party, though. Have you watched any more of it?
No, but I will now because that's part of my homework.
Oh, that's your deal.
That's my deal. That's okay. At least they're like 30-minute episodes, so to you.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that.
But I took two, so I took the Liberator, too. And Yellowstone, I'm at episode six, season one. So
same place? That's okay.
Same place. That's fine. Yeah.
That's okay.
I'll figure it out. I'll tell you what I've been doing under stargazing. But first, it's Media Rewind.
I'll be back. Oh, yeah. I struggled for a while to try and find a movie to coincide with Beartown. Obviously, I hadn't watched Beartown yet, so I was sort of, you know, you had mentioned a couple podcasts before that, you know, we would just take a risk and you know, we would just guess. So I wanted to do a little bit better than guess, but I didn't know. I was just like, hockey. What's another hockey movie that isn't quite about hockey? I don't know. Right. So, and just, I just came across, I don't know how, I think I was just doing random searches of 90s hockey movies. And then, yeah, this poster came up and I said, there you go. It's kind of got hockey as a subplot, but it's really an action thriller movie. 1995's Jean-Claude Van Damme, you all, Sudden Death.
The poster, which shows a helicopter crashing into an arena.
Which that foreshadowing.
It gives away the ending. That's like the ending of the film.
Oh, greatest ending ever.
I think it was
funny.
I was going to say, I think it was a big, deal. Like that. I think that, that being able to do that stunt, I think it was a pretty big deal back in 1995.
Oh, possibly. But it's funny because I started getting into this and I was like in the first 20 minutes and I texted you, dude, this isn't that actually that bad. It's kind of like Die Hard. And then like 10 minutes went by and I was like, this totally isn't like Die Hard at all.
I think I jumped the gun a bit on my early,
this is like Die Hard. This actually might not be that bad.
Yeah. It made money. It cost $35 million. It made $64 million. It was
okay. So it doubled it. That's pretty good.
A little bit of a hit. I
think for 95, almost $100 million movie. That's pretty good.
Yeah. The director and Jean-Claude Van Damme, I think, worked together on Time Cop 2. So a little bit of a pairing. One thing I thought was interesting is that the owner of the Pittsburgh Penguins, his wife wrote the original story that inspired the movie. So there's some sort of like evolution the owner was Howard Baldwin and her name was Karen Baldwin. And there's some sort of evolution as far as like this being their first film. But then they got into like a production. They created a production company and made a series of films. And I guess she actually won an Academy Award for Ray.
Louise.
Yeah. So this movie started off like a major film career for both husband and wife, but husband was already like an owner of the or part owner of Pittsburgh.
But they were all into hockey ownership, right. And then switched gears over into film production.
Yeah, obviously crazy. A major entrepreneur to begin with, but yeah,
crazy. Yeah, the helicopter crash at the end was epic. Like it's so slow and it's like falling. I'm like, please look over, please look over.
Oh, of course,
please look over. And then when Powers Booth finally looked over at Jean-Claude and gives him, they lock eyes. I like scream. I start cheering. I was like, yes, yes. Oh, because it was just so bad. But I was like, please just look over at him. Look over at him. I was like, yes. Speaking of Powers Booth, I mean that guy. He doesn't age very much, does he? He's
he's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's dead now, but he did.
Oh, did he die?
Yeah, he died in 2017.
Oh, yeah. No, good-looking guy, but just saying, like over, you know, between 95 and he had a bit role in what was the
Deadwood was the one that
Robert
really
Rodriguez.
Stuck out for
me. Kind of. Robert Rodriguez film noir movie with all those stars. What the fuck? Sin City.
Sin City, yes.
Yeah. And he didn't look, you know, drastically different between 1995 and when that came out. But he's kind of got like this particular look to him. He's got like these pointy eyebrows or whatever. Good looking guy, but I can't ever see him not being the bad guy.
Right.
he's just got this face like that. I just can't see him being like the leading hero man, you know.
He's just got a menacing drawl to him, like you're just like of, when he talks, you're like, well, you're, just take everything, take my wallet, please. I don't know if you ever watched Deadwood, but he was kind of like,
but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, Deadwood's amazing. You should watch Deadwood. And he plays like a rival kind of saloon owner to like one of our main character, Al Swearinger. But no, he's quite good in that.
They made a Deadwood movie. They did the series, and then there was a movie after the series or prelude
after.
Okay. So you can watch the series first and then go watch the movie. Okay.
Yeah. And the movie's quite good. I mean, it's not. It's a nice, conclusion to the show, because the show was canceled after 3 seasons. So I think they had plans to keep going. So it's a nice little cap to the show, but nothing like, it's not a big blockbuster movie in any concern. But it's a great writing and great storytelling for the end of those characters.
Right. Not much karate in this movie for a Van Damme movie. He's just straight up sort of action. He actually gets the shit kicked out of him quite a bit through this, but yeah, I thought I'd get at least a background house in the air spinning his trademark spin kick or the splits or something, but no, there's no splits.
He was like high kicking with goalie pads on. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh my god, that scene.
So sorry.
He plays like 5 minutes of the hockey game as
so
the goalie.
Ridiculous. And he, saves, does a save and everything. The one thing that this movie could have had was that whole kitchen chef guy. When he has the knife cleaver in the beginning, he throws up the knife and it lands and it cuts the onions in half. I'm like, to me, I was predicting, okay, he's going to team up with Jean-Claude Van Damme and he's going to fight his way out. And then he dies within like the next 5 minutes.
Or just like, maybe, do something with that chef knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Action like, scene or something.
They've set him up to like at least be able to handle a knife. Why not see that? Why not let him kill one bad guy with a cleaver? That would be great. But no. Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican?
I don't know.
You're Canadian.
Okay.
that was like when the vice president goes into the locker room of the hockey players. He's like, I just want to ask, are you a Democrat or Republican? The guy's like, neither. We're Canadian.
Call my ex-wife and tell her that the gravy train's gone off the rails. That was another quote from that one.
So both your picks reference Canada. So there you go.
There you go. And hockey.
Shout outs to Canada and hockey.
Woohoo. Woohoo. Beartown, good pick. Sudden death. I mean, whatever. Something you could put on in the background. I don't know. It's not really holding up in a 2021 lens as far as good action movies are concerned.
Did you know that there was a remake of this movie called Welcome to Sudden Death in 2020?
No, there wasn't. Last year?
Yeah. It went right to video. Michael J. White, I think he was the Spawn.
Yeah, he's a martial arts star, but he does like B movies, action movies and stuff.
So yeah, there's a Welcome to Sudden Death 2020. Same, he plays a security guard. Same thing, kids are in a basketball arena, and it gets taken over and blah 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 blah. 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. So probably not worth your time. You've got to watch 30 Coins, so you can't.
Yeah, I got to somehow find 60 minutes to squeeze in a 30-episode show.
Yeah.
Amongst everything else I'm watching lately.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Right. This is just stargazing. We're talking about things we're watching, excited to watch, and all that. I'll go. I took your suggestion and I watched In and of Itself, actually. Nice. After we recorded our last podcast, that night I went and watched it. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where did you get he practices dark magic from? Just because he practices magic and it's kind of eerie? Is that why you say it's dark magic?
I don't really know the definition of dark black magic
When I think of dark magic, I think of like pentagon symbols and Satan worshippers and shit like that. So
yeah.
So no, maybe it's definitely just magic. Some eerie magic though, and just his sleight of hand was amazing. And the end, where he guessed the cards that everybody picked.
Well, he just knew, like he had developed the memorization technique where he must have somehow. Like to me, this is how I rationalize it in my head. Sorry, spoilers for In and of Itself. You should definitely go watch this movie and not listen to us. Because they film everyone in the lobby when they're picking their, you know, their classification.
So do you think he watches that and he has to do some sort of
memory trick? Yeah,
yeah.
That would how else unless he's like. Dark magic stuff. How else
not
is gonna
dark
do
magic? But
how else would you know that?
There's things people do when they're thinking about things that skilled people can pick up on. You know, you look up a certain way, your eye twitches a certain way. You
but
know,
that's pretty amazing. If he can, if
no,
he can
I know,
do
but
that.
I mean, it's even on another level. You know, who knows?
Yeah, and I don't know if like for me, it just got. Who knows? Like, I just got like the whole letter thing. Just like really choked me up. Like I don't know.
Like that, just, that was just unreal.
Yeah. And yeah, I just felt so, again, just very real and just, you know, and who doesn't connect with the idea of like, you know, having that, wanting that extra time to spend with someone that you love, and even more poignant in like, in a COVID environment when, you know, people are upset that they have to go to work, but they can't go hug their grandma or that kind of thing. Right. So, you know, in a time where you're missing your loved ones, like that definitely hit home for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's some interesting themes throughout. Like it was a magic show, but it was deeper than a magic show, and I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, almost done Breaking Bad. I've got six episodes left to finish the entire series. It's getting super good.
Oh yeah, so
well, I mean, it's been good the whole time, but you know what I mean. Like it's. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. Why I stopped watching it? I was trying to think why I stopped watching it. I stopped watching it before like Netflix was out, so I didn't have the opportunity to sort of stream it when I was first watching it. So I'd have to go and like rent the DVD copies of it back when there was actually rentals and or watch it on TV. So I think just that process of having to go to the video store to keep up on it. So yeah, anyways, but that's excellent. And last night we watched the sequel to Coming to America, and don't waste your time. It was bad. It's bad. Nothing didn't even hold a candle to the original, man. It was seemed like a couple guys that just don't want to let their characters die, maybe looking to get an Amazon paycheck. I don't know, but it
Eddie Murphy and I think Arsenio Hall, like they did a movie,
the Dolomite one.
Dolomite is My Name, right? And Netflix,
and they got critical acclaim, right?
So I'm assuming Amazon probably said, hey, we want you to do something for us next, what do you want to do? We'll, whatever you want, we'll green light. And he
30 years later, let's do Coming to America sequel.
And they probably said, great.
Yeah. And I just finished the 4-hour Zack Snyder's Justice League. I did it in like 15-minute chunks. Right.
I was going to say, I've watched about 30 minutes of it so far. And I don't know how to feel about it at this point.
It's no better than the other one. It's different than Josh Whedon's one, but it's no better.
Josh Whedon did... The other, he was the one that came in and finished the movie, theatrical version of Justice League.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But there's some added stuff. Like there's a lot more Cyborg and Flash backstory, which is really cool. Cyborg's a lot more predominant in this one. He's got seems like a much larger role. The bad guys are fleshed out a little bit more, but. Yeah, when you extend the movie by an hour and a half, I'd like to think so, that some of this stuff is fleshed out a bit more. But yeah, some of the action scenes are a little different because they went with, I think it's only 14 in Canada, but I believe it's rated R in the States. Mm. There's a little bit of added blood and stuff where there wasn't before, but it's nothing R-rated worthy.
I assume I tried to watch the theatrical version, but I don't think I ever got through it. And so I couldn't remember when I was watching the Zack Snyder's cut. I quite enjoyed the fight on Wonder Woman's island there with all the horses and stuff like that. I don't remember if that was in the theatrical version when he's just like chucking horses and all that. And all
it that was. Stuff. I don't think it was as some parts were a little bit more graphic. He does a couple more. He beats up a couple more horses that I think weren't in the original one. You know.
I was like, that. I never seen that before. Oh, jeez. If it's my turn.
It is your turn. Sorry. I took up the first part of that.
No, I was going to say I followed up on one of your recommendations and I hit the subscribe button and I watched the first season of Ted Lasso.
Oh, nice.
So I committed to the Apple TV.
You were not disappointed.
No,
you?
Not for Ted Lasso, for sure. Like that, you're right. Like it's the series that we didn't know we needed, but it was great.
Wasn't it great? Yeah. I really liked it too.
Yeah, I would recommend that to anybody.
And he won a Golden Globe for best actor.
Yeah, so, he was wearing his hoodie.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people gave him kudos for just kind of being real and honest and not all Hollywood fluffy. So that's great.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, good for good him. Show. Yeah. Yeah. I like that Jason Sudeikis. So I'm happy for him. So,
yeah, I thought it was a very nice, refreshing take on a lot of like comedy tropes, too, that they used. So I'm excited to see a second season.
Ted Lasso 2. Yeah. Ted Lasso me too. What else you watching?
Well, I'm sure you probably have as well, because it's been a couple of days. The first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier dropped.
I did, and I was hoping you might pick it, so I held off. But if you're not going to pick it, I'll get into it.
No, get into it. I don't think I will pick it, but we should, let's have fun talking about it, because I'm sure we'll be watching it every week. But I think, that'll transition. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do Mighty Ducks and Mighty Ducks. Boom, boom, boom. So then we should be able to, we'll have a week to watch the first episode. And then I think the movie's on Disney Plus now anyways. So
it is. Yeah. I watched it last weekend with my girls. So I'm already ahead I'm already ahead of the curve.
So you have lots of time to watch 30 Coins.
There you go. Then you picked a really good time to give me this little extra bit of homework.
There you go. More hockey coming up for us. Hockey, and more hockey.
Anything coming up? Other than Mighty Ducks that you're excited for? Anything you're chomping at the bit? You're like, oh, yeah.
Gosh.
What's that shit coming out?
I don't think so. Well, another thing that we're going to do for our next episode is we're going to talk about our Oscar picks. Because the timing will be right for that. As the Oscars are in next month in April. So maybe I'll be trying to watch as many nominated pictures as I can.
Someone I really want to see, Minari.
Minari, yes.
Yeah, I really want to see that. That looks like a super tearjerker, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is...
Going to clean house.
I don't know if it's going to clean house, but...
Where can we even watch that one?
I think you have to rent it.
But you could probably rent it right off of Apple.
Yeah, you can rent it right off of Apple.
Okay. Remember when the Oscars used to nominate all the awesome movies?
Hey, dude.
They are awesome. No, don't get me wrong. I'm sure those are high quality movies.
I prefer the Oscars nominating high quality movies over what broke the budget, what broke the box office.
No, right? Yeah.
Like, I'd rather the Oscars be like a good litmus test of what I should probably see versus what I did see.
Long as they don't nominate Judi Dench, I'm okay.
Ever since Shakespeare in Love, which you got nominated for the Queen, that just really pissed you off.
Oh, super pissed me off, man. I was thinking about it today, actually. I was like, fuck you, Judi Dench.
Well, they do that, right? I think we've talked about it. Sometimes they actually honor like the role of the movie they're in. Sometimes they just honor the career because they've been nominated so much. So probably this year will be Glenn Close. So Glenn Close is in that movie Hillbilly Elegy, which is on Netflix, which is supposedly terrible. I've heard bad things. But she's one of those actresses have been nominated over and over and over again. Well, exactly.
Better give it to her.
So is this the year that they just give it to her?
She was a pirate in Hook. Better give it to her.
She was a pirate in Hook?
Yeah. Yeah, she plays a pirate in Hook at the beginning.
Oh, interesting. With like Robin Williams? Dustin Hoffman?
Dustin Hoffman, yeah, and Dustin Hoffman locks her in a trunk.
Oh.
But she plays a male pirate. It's pretty funny.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'll try and find the clip and send it to you.
All right, well, that's the end of the episode. Thanks, Sean.
No problem. Thank you, Russ. You have yourself a really good work week, buddy.
Okay, love you, buddy.
Take care. You, too.
Bye.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast.